Tonight, we look at San Diego Comic-Con 2011. You are listening to a production of the Geek Existence family.
Now, all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Big Big Fearful, and with me be...
Suki Grab at Calmacon.
I was going to say, I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hey everybody, this is Greg Berger,
and me, Grimlock,
and you're listening to Geek Existence Transformers.
This is Geek Existence Transformers, episode 33, recorded July 21st, 2011. With you again for this episode is myself, known in some circles as Weird Wolf, and sitting over there in the corner playing with his little orange cannon is Insane Galvatron.
Yes, I love playing with my cannon.
And I guess he's becoming a regular on this show, TFR Cool.
Hello.
Would you like Welcome to see my cannon? Again.
Yes, I would. Please, the highest res pictures that you have.
15 megapixels.
No, I'm going to be like movie Ironhide. I will have it like all up in your face. Look at it.
But if you're not careful, he will leak on your foot.
Oh, yes, boy. Don't leak lubricants on my foot.
Oh, well, we are here once again. Alpha, two great weeks of great special podcasts. We had a couple weeks ago, we had a Transformers photography episode with TFR Cool and XV and TJ Duckett. That was a fantastic episode. And then last week we had, if you haven't listened to it, we had a Transformers customization episode featuring Incline and Abram, two of the Radicons. And they gave us some great insight as to what they do and how they do it. And it made for a fantastic discussion and a listen. So if you can check it out, if you haven't listened to it already, go back and listen to episode 32. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you're into customs.
Yes.
So what have you guys been into this week?
Burning up. There's been heat advisories here, and I work outside, in a truck, and, trailer is basically made of metal, so it sits out in the sun and gets even hotter. So it's like 100
it's a
degrees
48
outside.
48-foot
yes.
box oven.
Yes. It's like 105 degrees outside. It's a good 130 inside the trailer.
I work outside a lot myself, and I've had to deal with it as well. The vehicle that I drive, it doesn't have air conditioning, so it's been absolutely, it's been absolutely unrelenting.
That's one thing today, I should say, it may be hot in that trailer, but at least I get to get back in the cab with AC to cool off afterward. So,
yeah, I was off today, and I spent the biggest part of the day chilling out, Max, and relaxing all cool here. I didn't go outside and shoot some b-ball by the school because it's just too freaking hot.
Yes, I agree. I didn't want to be at work today. I envied you so much.
I didn't want to be at work today, and I wasn't. So yeah. I sat and played Call of Duty quite a bit.
Good.
I still have not even put my Dark of the Moon game in the PlayStation 3 yet.
Fail.
I bought it before the movie came out, because I wanted to play it before I saw the movie, but then it didn't arrive in time because I saw the movie on opening night, and so now I just haven't played it at all. It's been like, 2 weeks? 3? It's just
buy a new game, play Call of Duty.
Well, I've been hearing that the Dark of the Moon game is kind of not up to snuff, but if it still uses the War for Cybertron game engine. I thought War for Cybertron was a very solid game. To me, it was easily the best Transformer game we'd ever had.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't played it, but most of the complaints I hear, it's pretty much like War for Cybertron, except the campaign is shorter, and you don't have as much variety about which characters you can play, because they're one at a time versus three at a time. But, I really don't mind, because I don't get that much time to play anyway. I'd rather not have to spend weeks playing it to get to the end.
Yeah, I spent a couple hours today on Call of Duty. I was making a new emblem for my gun. I actually wound up making two. I did have a Decepticon insignia on my gun, But I'd had that. I'm on my fourth prestige right now, and I'd had that since my very first run through. So I figured it was time for something new. So I came up with a Optimus Prime head. It looked pretty good. I liked it, but I've already changed it, and it looks like a Soundwave head now. So maybe I'll post a picture or two of those, some crappy cell phone cam pictures.
They looked good on my cell phone when I received them.
Well, I was actually just standing right up on the TV and snapped them. So
you were on TV.
Gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, it might crack the TV. But
yes.
So what did you do today?
On this side, today was a rest day because yesterday we spent all day at SeaWorld of Orlando, watching people drop like flies, succumbing to the heat.
You know, I lived in Florida for, I guess, 16, 17 years, and I never went to SeaWorld. I mean, it's just one of those things that we wanted to do as a family, but we never did. I mean, I went to Disney World a few times and went to Universal Studios. Busch Gardens went to like a half dozen times. And never went to SeaWorld.
Oh. I've never been to Epcot or Disney World, which is very surprising.
Hmm. Well, Epcot's pretty
nice. I never
nice.
Saw the need to go to SeaWorld, because if I wanted to see a whale in the water, I could just go watch my ex-wife take a bath.
Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho! Sweet.
Wah-wah-wah.
Anyway.
We should start over.
Our main topic of discussion tonight is the San Diego Comic-Con, which is going on as we speak in San Diego, California. I'll get San Diego out. I had to re-record that like two or three times. But, it's San Diego Comic-Con is like probably the biggest convention, I guess, for a nerd convention, I guess, in the United States or in the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I would believe so. The crowds, every picture or video I've ever seen, looked insane.
Yeah.
I'd like to go just to say I've been to a Comic-Con, but wow. I mean, you know, there is a definition of too big, and I personally, from what I've seen, like you, I've seen in pictures, too big, it describes San Diego Comic-Con perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks to me like I could never really enjoy the show for fighting the crowds constantly. I mean, when the crowd is so thick that you have to, like, push your way between people to get from one place to another, you can't really enjoy the show that way. Because you can't just kind of casually walk by the tables and look at what they've got. I mean, it's you got to know where you're going and push your way there, and that just doesn't look fun to me.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, what about the panels? I mean, if you get into a panel, I mean, these rooms are bound to be enormous. And sitting in the back and everything looks so teeny tiny, I mean, my eyesight is terrible. So, I mean, I don't think I could sit in the back like that and get anything out of the panel except for, what did he say? Did he say something about Wheeljack?
I'm sure they probably have speakers around the room so everybody can hear.
Well, even at BotCon, the speakers sometimes aren't that great, so.
Yeah. In this one, I know they have, I saw in some of the pictures, they had like a, for when people are up speaking, I think they have like a large projector screens in which they, you know, show.
Yeah,
people.
Well, they do that at BotCon too, but again, you know, you're in a room with the lights on, and even if they dim the lights a little bit, the images that they show aren't very dark. I mean, you can't really see them, especially if you're sitting at an angle.
Yeah, that was a problem back in BotCon. You can tell it in these pictures too. From the coverage, I mean, if you're not sitting at the exact right place, your camera isn't going to be able to see and nor you.
Well, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, like I said, I've always wanted to visit San Diego Comic-Con. There's a lot of interesting things there beyond, you know, Hasbro and Transformers. There's G.I. Joe and of course comic books and television shows. I know a lot of TV shows get a lot of exposure there. Smallville had a lot of exposure there in recent years. Just seeing interesting things like that, and their guest list is, like, enormous. I mean,
well, I heard that back when the Sarah Connor Chronicles was on, that Summer Glau was there.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to meet her.
I'd like to meet her, too.
Moving along.
Well, I just
might have to edit that.
I just meant that I'd like to meet her. What do you think I meant?
Moving along.
It's a friendly visit.
Yes, it's a... Say a little howdy-do, huh?
Just meant a little introduction where I tell her my name, and she tells me hers, I shake her hand, glad to meet you, autograph, please, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You and say hello to her mom.
Yes.
XV would be proud. Well, let's move on to our first segment of the night. Time now for our eBay item of the week this week. As always, or has become a habit with us, deals with the San Diego Comic-Con and the exclusives. And with this being a Transformers podcast, we have a Transformer-related item. Now, there were two items that are strictly Transformers that are exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con, that being the Ultimate Optimus Prime, packaged in truck mode and coming with a set of G1-styled stickers. And it's in a very special box. We saw that at BotCon, and it looked very sweet. As well as a Transformers Prime, Optimus Prime, in a Matrix-style package. And that looked really nice as well.
From what I could tell, the Ultimate Optimus Prime, the only thing different is the box and the trailer stickers. Otherwise, yeah. It's the same toy.
Well, they told us that at the con, you know. I mean, it's the only way. I mean, it's essentially the same toy as we'll be getting in mass release, but you know, this is a special way of packaging it, and it will be the only way to get the Ultimate Optimus Prime packaged in truck mode.
Yes. But the Transformers Prime is actually unique with this release in that it has a shiny paint job.
Oh yes, which makes it even more so desirable for me. I mean, I really, really am a big fan of shiny paint and vacuum metalized chrome paint. I know a lot of fans don't like it, and I can see why, because it can tarnish, it can scratch and everything, but I mean,
it looks pretty.
Yeah.
Especially if you maintain it well. I mean, I know the six shot, the G1 six shot that I used to have, up until the time I sold it, I mean, the chrome on his back, you could still see yourself in it, even after 20 years, you know. It had not tarnished or scratched at all. I mean, it was just still beautiful. So, I mean, if you take care of your chrome on your toys, I mean, you know, it'll still look great.
Now, how long do you think it's going to be before we see San Diego Comic-Con Ultimate Optimus Prime appear on eBay with the guy only selling the box, except there are pictures of the toy in the box, and how long do you think it's going to be before somebody pays upwards of $100 and doesn't read that?
Just for the box.
It's probably already happened, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I know that happened for the BotCon 2011 one recently, sold for $459, and it said in gigantic red text in the thing, box only.
Wow. Wow, that blows my mind. But then again, you know, people are stupid. I mean, I've been both a seller and a buyer on eBay, and as a seller, you meet all kinds. I mean, there's people. I remember back whenever I was selling my collection the first time, and this guy, I can't remember which figure it was, but he wanted. I was actually selling a set. That's what it was. It was a combiner team.
Yes.
And I was selling it as a whole. But this guy wanted me to keep a couple of the bots out of the set. He just wanted like three of them because he already had the other two. And I'm like, well, the auction was for for all five, you know, not just three of them. You know, I mean, if you don't want them, resell them. And he got adamant with me that he did not want those three bots. I mean, those two other bots.
Well, see,
he said, do not send them.
If you had only sent three, he probably would have then filed a complaint that it was not as described to try to get his money back.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, you meet all kinds. But we digress. I mean, this eBay item of the week is not about the other two exclusives, but it is still Transformer related. It is the San Diego Comic-Con G.I. Joe Sky Striker painted up like G1 Starscream.
Yeah, this
Greg,
is awesome.
Greg, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
I would love to have one of these. When I first saw the pictures, I'm just not really a Joe collector, but this is the crossover people have been wanting, that Hasbro has said when asked that it can't happen for internal reasons. I don't know why. But it's not only is it the Sky Striker in Starscream colors, but it comes with Cobra Commander, who has a little mini Megatron gun mode he can hold. But if you want to see this auction, the number is 360-381-366-033. The guy selling this currently has two available with a buy it now of $199.99 with $19.99 shipping.
Now that is to the U.S. Canada shipping is $31.99 and international is $42.99.
Nice. And I think what's the retail on this thing at the show? Like $80?
Yeah, approximately 80.
So he's
also, this
more
guy
than
adds a special note that is also in hand now with, you know, a lot of exclamation marks and all caps. So
apparently he is there and he bought it.
Yes.
And I wonder how long before it ends up on Hasbro Pro Shop.
He does accept PayPal as well. Yes. I think we need to note that. This thing here, I'm like you, Greg. I would really love to have this. I had a Sky Striker as a kid, and I thought it was awesome, especially like the little ejector seats you could throw up in the air, and it had the little parachute that would come out. And, well, it was supposed to come out. Sometimes it didn't, and it just plummeted back to the ground. And you're like, oh, he died. He fell on the ground, and he died. You know, but no.
He died.
He died.
So he did died it.
Go ahead, finish your joke.
He did died it on the grounded.
Your flight.
Okay,
has been
as
grounded.
I segue away from the bad jokes, I never actually had a Sky Striker as a kid. I just had the later Joe plane that showed up. I think it was after the movie or whatever, with the forward swept wings. I don't remember what it was called. I had that one.
I am not a Joe, Big Joe guy, so the name is escaping me at this time too. So, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. So anyway, this I always wanted this one. You know, I wanted it back in the day, and when I wanted the G.I. Joe plane, by the time somebody got it for me for Christmas, you know, the Sky Striker was no longer available because now they were selling the other one. I ended up with the other one instead. But, you know, I always wanted one, and to have it, to finally be able to get it, and to be able to get it painted like Starscream, it's like a wet dream come true. But I don't know, $80 is a lot, and there's a lot of Transformers coming out that I really want, so I don't know that I'll actually get it, but I want it.
Yeah, but
I want it.
Not 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to throw that out there, if I do get it, it's going to be because I wait and get it on HasbroToyShop.com.
Yes.
For retail.
Not from this teeny what? No.
Teeny He's what?
Teeny what? He too expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, this is somebody that's really taking advantage of the people that really want this toy. I mean, I can see the toy eventually getting to this price, you know, out of demand and lack of supply. But right now, the supply, as far as we know, is plentiful. So, just because it has the moniker exclusive doesn't mean automatically, hey, this is like really, really expensive item. So, or at least yet. But, you know, I want one of these really badly, and I want to take the Cobra Commander out of his ejector seat and throw him up in the air and let him plummet to the ground and go, once a man. Once
yes.
a man.
TD what?
That is our eBay item of the week this week. The G.I. Joe Sky Striker Transformers Starscream San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Hey, when check he hits, it out. When he hits the ground, if he breaks, are you going to proclaim that they don't make terrorists like they used to?
Yeah. He crashed and burned. But that is REB.
That's the only
out of the week.
Reference, the only actual crossover I know of a Joe character appearing in a Transformer cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's... well, actually, there was Marissa Fairborn, who was...
oh, yeah, her father showed up in when he was a Joe character.
Yes. And
he wasn't, he wasn't relevant to this auction.
No. But that's our eBay item of the week this week. Shocking. Weird. Or downright crazy. However you describe it, it's time now for Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. All right, well, we're going to return to a segment that we've had in the past, but we haven't had them and haven't had it in a while. We kind of, you know, it's one of those once in a blue moon type things. Is Whiskey Tango Foxtrot? Figure out what those three letters stand for, and you'll get a cookie. And this week we have a San Diego Comic-Con related item. There was some baloney that was going on at I want to say BotCon, but it's Comic-Con this year.
Commotion. There was,
Tyler, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
All right. Well, I'm here live from San Diego, which is a complete lie. Basically what has happened is that people have spent money, hard-earned cash,
and how
most
much
likely
money?
American dollars, approximately 75 of them.
Wow, that's 750.
Wow,
no, 7,050. 7,500 pennies. I'll get it out.
$75. I have two of those in my wallet. $2. I just need 73 more, and I can go to Comic-Con.
Wow. Yes.
Well, they spent that much money. And they have the option to go around and look on preview night around Comic-Con, check out all the exclusive things, buy some stuff a little bit early than the mass of people who just come in on the I do believe the 2 days that is open to the public for general admission. And some people decided to try and get their exclusive Transformers early from the Hasbro line, and it didn't go too well. Unfortunately, what actually happened was that some people paid $75 basically to wait in line for 3 hours and then get told to go away and you are not able to purchase your toys.
As opposed to having a cutoff on the line, so okay, anybody past this guy's not getting in, no point lining up. They let them line up and wait an hour, wait in line for 3 hours, and then tell them, oh, sorry, you're not getting in.
Yes,
they needed to have a Stephen King reference and have Mr. Linoge walk into Hasbro's booth and say, "Give me what I want and I will go away." Storm of the Century, Stephen King movie. Watch that movie and you'll be freaked out. But that's total bull crap. I mean, you pay $75, you go in, you get in a line. I know we saw it at BotCon a little bit, maybe not to this extreme. But, I mean, people wait in line for really long periods of time only to be told, sorry, you know, line's cut off, you know, can't do any more. It happened to me and my wife at in the voice actor, the Transformer Prime voice actor line. We waited and waited and waited and waited.
Well, didn't you go through one line and it was when you were getting in the next line they said sorry it's cut off?
Yeah,
so you
well
didn't wait in that line. They told you when you got there, hey, no point in getting in line, this was cut off.
Well, no, what it was is we didn't even get an opportunity to get in all the lines that we wanted to get in, simply for the reason, and we would have had they actually stuck to their rule of, you know, one photograph and one photograph only. They had people going up there, and it's like, I want one for me, one for my kid, one for my dog, one for my cat, you know. And
one for my mother-in-law.
Yeah, there was people going up there snapping 4 and 5 photos at a time and getting the voice actors to sign this and sign their cast and sign their butt cheek and everything else. Yeah.
sign my baby's forehead.
Yeah, all this stuff that just took so much time. You know, I mean, if you go up there like they did the Peter Cullen line that first year that they had him, you know, nobody was allowed photographs. You know, go up one item per person. They is pretty much go up, hi, how you doing? I've been a lifelong fan. Here, sign this. Thank you. Nice to meet you. And go on your way. You know, I mean, it's kind of, you really want to spend time with the people, but at the same time, you understand there's 300 people behind you, yeah, that want the exact same thing. So if you all get the same experience, then, you know, at least everybody got an experience. In this case, you know, people wanted to get in and get the toys, which, you know, I can understand how they would be mad. They were in line for like 2 or 3 hours and were not able to get into the booth and get the toys. But the toys are going to be there all weekend, you know.
Yeah,
just wait till the next day.
Yeah, but there's less of a rush today than there will be tomorrow, or whatever the 2 days is open to the public. It's going to be worse on those days. As far as the crowds, they got to fight, they'll be further back in line, you know, or they'll have to wait all night to be at the beginning of the line. I mean, that's the whole point of the preview night, paying the $75, is to avoid the crowds that next day.
The crowds.
Yeah, and if you're going to spend the $75 to get in to avoid those lines, and then they don't tell you there's a cutoff on the line, you know, because if they just told those people, okay, here's the cutoff, and a passenger's not going to get in, they could have spent the 3 hours doing something else to feel like they got their money's worth. I'm sure the reason they're mad, and justifiably so, is they paid $75
for nothing to
do nothing but wait in line. And it wasn't even like there was a payoff at the end. They just paid $75 for the privilege of waiting in line for 3 hours. And yes. I would be pretty cheap.
You know, I mean, even on preview night, it's not like, during BotCon, yes, there are a lot of people that go there before that are attending as a package, and then there are even more general attendees. But here it says preview night usually maybe 7,000 to 15,000 people.
Wow,
because
that's
such a big convention.
That makes BotCon look so small.
Yeah, but it's also just
said.
A gigantic
I was biting
convention.
My tongue.
Go I mean, ahead. I'm sorry.
Like tickets next year. I don't know how much they are this year. I know the preview line was, you know, 75 to get into the preview, but I'm not totally sure how tickets are. But I think next year they're going to run 175, and before they were, you know, only going like 60 or 80, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I have heard they've raised the price for next year. But yeah, that. If you're kind of interested in seeing what exactly we're talking about, there is a YouTube video. We'll post it in the show notes for you to click on it and watch. Hopefully, it'll still be available then, and won't be taken down. But yeah, there is a video of it. It's about 12 minutes long, I guess, and you'll see it. I mean, I wasn't even there, and I was a little bit enraged. But I mean, yeah, I think it could have been handled better. I mean, really, I mean, you don't go up to people that's paid $75 and have been waiting in line all that long and say, sorry, you're SOL, you know, go have a nice day. You just don't do that. And
yeah,
it was a bad PR move. I don't know if it was Hasbro's doing or if it was Comic-Con's. It's not exactly clear at this time. But yeah, there it is. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Now it's time for Ouch My Wallet.
Alrighty, our Ouch My Wallet segment this week. I know it's not going to be a huge one, but we'll start off with you, Greg.
I didn't get a whole lot this week. Kind of saving up for some more stuff coming out down the road. I bought a bunch of the Hasbro Toy Shop Groupons. I don't know if we talked about that last week or not, but it's basically Groupon.com. Hasbro has a store there. You can purchase whenever they have them available. They put up the deals for different cities. You can buy one from each city. And it's a $30 gift card, basically. It works like a gift card as far as how you redeem it. But it's a $30 value for HasbroToyShop.com for $15. So you essentially double your money. So I picked a bunch of those up and placed my first order. And I ordered the Generations Warpath and the Creo Megatron set, and they showed up today, so I haven't had a chance to open either one, but you know, they're here. you're a regular listener to the podcast, you know that I've already gotten a Warpath, you know, way back. I wanted a second one to Kitbash, and since he hasn't shown up on shelves yet, he was retail priced. They had a sale going on for free shipping, plus I was able to use the Groupons, so I essentially got all this stuff for half price. I think with tax and everything, the total on these two items came to like $44. And, you know, of course, using Groupons, it essentially only cost me $22. So I got Megatron and Warpath for $22. I feel like that was a good deal.
That is a good deal. That is a great deal.
And I'm saving the rest of my Groupons for, I guess, next week on Monday when the exclusives from the Comic-Con go up on the website on Hasbro Toy Shop. I will purchase the Ultimate Optimus Prime and the Prime, assuming that they stay in stock long enough and the servers don't crash while, you know, the mad dash of people trying to order them. Mm-hmm. But that's next week.
I'd be happy to kitbash anything that you would want.
No, that's okay. I'll just hang on my Warpath. I think I can. He's going to end up being a brawl. I need someone to go, cool. You know, with my Onslaught and Vortex that I don't have yet, but he's a store ordered him from. Capture Prey has received them, but they are in the state, so rather than paying shipping, I'm going to pick them up next time I'm in the same town. So I can't really put that in here because I don't have it yet. But anyway, you know, brawl will go with him. And the other thing I picked up this week is I was at Target, and I picked up the Cyberverse Ironhide and Leadfoot 2-pack. This is the one where Leadfoot actually has the Target symbol on the hood, and Ironhide is in blue. And the only reason I wanted the Leadfoot, but I didn't really want the Ironhide, especially in blue. But then I had picked up on an impulse buy, which I think I mentioned last week, the Cyberverse Ironhide. And over this past week, I had been messing around with that guy so much. He has got to be my favorite Cyberverse toy now. I don't know why, he's fun to transform. I can't really specifically name what's so great about him. I can't say, oh, he's great because of this. All I know is I can't stop picking him up, playing with him, transforming him, putting him back, you know, asking everybody if they want to see his cannons. He's just a fun toy. So I liked him so much that the next time I was in Target, I was like, you know, I kind of wouldn't mind having him in blue, too. That way I got two of them. They can ask each other if they want to see their cannons. And So, I've been having a blast playing with that guy. And that's all I got.
Seeing your cannons. You know, I'll save it for mine. Tyler, you want to tell us what you got?
I picked up a Generations Cup this week after a long search and hoping and praying that he would show up in my area. Randomly, Walmart puts out some Generations figures in the movie aisle. Although it kind of became a fiasco because they do retail for $11.88, and my grandma saw that they were, quote, $9.98 on the pegs because they're right next to, you know, they were in the same aisle as the movie section. Either the employees or some kids put them over there. And so basically it ended up going, she was like, I need to talk to your manager, and they're like, just go to customer service. And I know Walmart customer service sucks, but, you know, on our walk over there, we stopped every employee that we saw, or she did anyways. And I was like, oh my goodness. And she was like, I need to talk to you about this. And, like, you know, people who work home and garden and, you know, people who work electronics and people who work, like, candles.
The cart pusher wearing the orange vest.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be able to fix that, and, you know, we finally went over there, and yes, it was mislabeled. I mean, it could have been put there by kids, but, I mean, it did need to spend, you know, 20 minutes.
Well, that's Walmart policy. That's Walmart policy. I worked for Walmart at one time, and if something is in the wrong price point, and it's clear that other things are in the wrong price point, they are supposed to give you that product for that price. I've had to call them out on that a couple times myself.
Although,
the lady there was actually the line was opening up, but this I guess this lady started her shift, and so it was kind of nice because it only went for 2 seconds. I mean, we didn't have to wait that long, and she didn't take that long just to charge it to $9.98. But I'm like, you know, God forbid, you know, you get a car and they accidentally charge 3 cents over.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, if I had been in the checkout line behind your grandmother, and instead of going to the customer service desk, you just, you know, waiting for the manager to come over to the register, and so it was like holding me up, I'd have been like, here, it's $2. And I'd have taken these $2 in my wallet and handed them to her.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
you're getting it for $9.88. Please move along.
It didn't make a difference to me because, you know, I didn't want to have to deal with going to Walmart customer service. You know, I mean, I would have, you know, paid the money anyways. I mean, I'm like, it doesn't mean much to me. And I'm like, what does it mean? What does it mean to you? Because it was like, you know, the two things: the either the get the cup or go get the 8-pack that's $100. And I'm like, is it worth $50 more to complain over two?
Right.
And I guess it wasn't. I mean, I'm glad it worked out the way it did, but she's rude to feed. Yeah, I just don't like the fact that when she goes along, she's usually pretty rude. You know, if she's angry, she's like, this is your fault, your company fault, you know. I mean, get some kids, go put some, five or six liters in the Hot Wheels aisle and hang them up on the 99-cent peg, sure. You know?
Find that.
Yeah.
You like take a bunch of laptops over there and, you know, put them on the 99-cent.
Has Cup told you any war stories yet?
Actually, yeah, he has. He's kind of been screaming at me, telling me to take more pictures of him because I've only taken a few and they turned out bad. But
that's because he's a crotchety old man. They never photograph.
Yeah, him. Yeah. I mean, he was. You know, I'm kind of afraid to get him the new head because you know what? I mean, if I give him a cigar, he's probably gonna put it out by burning it against my arm.
Yeah, you never want to give your robot's head. That's the wrong thing to do.
Well, I know, but the new head looks much more macho and tough than his current head that looks like a shriveled up old geezer.
I like the new head, the iGear head, but personally, I am personally fine with his default head that he comes with out of package. I mean, yes, it is rather wrinkly and kind of scary looking, but I mean, he is supposed to be an old-looking bot, and he looks like an old-looking bot to me. Yeah. And the face does look like Cup to me. So
there's a difference between looking like an old bot and looking like a dead, shriveled-up corpse bot.
I don't see that. I mean, that's not one of those things that cannot be unseen.
The cheeks are
me.
Just a little too sunk in, and the cheekbones and the eye sockets. I mean, it looks like a corpse, like it's been dead for 6 months.
Brand new Transformers corpse robot with floppy limb action. I think that would sell well with the children.
I don't know. The crotchety old robot with the cane didn't sell well with the Dark of the Moon Jetfire. So.
No. Oh, Ian. Well, I blame him having to combine with big old Prime. You know, because Prime turned out well, but Jetfire was kind of meh.
Well, I hated the fart. hated the part.
Well, he did fart in the movie.
I hated the part. You know, this podcast is going to be a nightmare to edit for me. But I hated the part where he had so much kibble underneath of him. That it just detracted from the very pretty top part of the jet plane. I mean, he looked like an SR-71 Blackbird. But then you flip him upside down, and he looked like an SR-71 Blackbird with a robot folded up underneath of him. And it just, you know, if they had did a better job of hiding all those robot bits or doing something with them...
I think they could have done it where they did, like a Voyager version of him that could have combined with Prime. That was just like it was, sold in robot mode, but it kind of did what the leader did. It kind of used different bits of kibble to make it very large in vehicle mode. I think they could have gotten away with that and having him able to stretch out to fit Leader Prime if they really had to, and then gone, the non-combining but really good looking for the leader class. They could have done it. I mean,
could have, should have, would have, but didn't.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, as for me, my ouch, my wallet this week was actually pretty light. All I picked up was Greg had been talking about him all week, Cyberverse Ironhide. He said how awesome he was. And I'm like, okay, $7, $8.
Did I oversell him? Did I get your expectations too high?
No, no. I went and picked him up today. Actually, I went out. My old PC that I used to use, the power supply, just went kaput on it. And I went out today solely to go and try to find a new power supply for it. And I dipped into Walmart and saw him on the peg, and I'm like, hey, you know, Greg was talking about this guy. I'll go ahead and pick him up. You know, so I picked him up, and he is pretty good. I like him. I wish he had a little more articulation in his arms, but I mean, the transformation is pretty satisfying, and the vehicle mode is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's not going to break any records for being like this most awesomest toy ever, but can factor in his size. You know, that is the only downside, is his shoulders are a little limited, and it has to do with the way that shoulder socket joint in the arm is cut. You know, it seems to me like if it had the little indention instead of on the very top, it would have been like on the front to allow him to have a little...
Or if it just swung out. I mean, if it could just swing out, it would be fine.
Well, I mean, even if they have to leave it as it is, because the ball is one piece with the hood shoulder thing, it just feels like that the way the arm moves with that indention cut out in the side of the socket on the top of the arm doesn't really feel necessary, but it feels like it needs to bend another way and it can't. Maybe they couldn't cut it that way, and he may have had a tooling problem, but it just seems like if he had a little better shoulders, because his arms are kind of behind him. And in order to get him up like the side of him or in front of him, he has to kind of almost hold his arm straight out because the shoulders won't come up. So you have to bend him at the elbows. And he looks like he's trying to show you his cannons all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just thought
Or he wants a hug.
Yeah. Well, but if you've got the cannons on the arms, or they're right on the top, you know, when he's like holding them out. So it's like, here, look at my cannons. Which is why I've been saying that all week, because I've been playing with that toy.
Well, you know, I like the cannons in robot mode, but in vehicle mode, it just looks stupid to me. So I don't even put it on there. I mean, you don't see him like that in the movie, so, mm-mm. You know.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping maybe they would clip underneath the truck or something like the original movie Ironhide from the 07 movie, but no, they don't. You can peg one in the roof and clip one on the back of the truck in that 3mm peg, but it really doesn't do anything to point up.
Yeah. Mine kind of has a, I don't know if, it can. Do you have yours handy? Can you look at it real quick?
No, it's in the other room.
In the truck mode, on the flat part of the bed, right in front of the connector where you clip the weapon on, mm-hmm. There's like a little, it's almost like a little nick in the plastic. Hmm. And it was there right out of the package for me.
I'm not sure, like I said, I don't recall seeing something like that in either one of mine, because I may have just not noticed it. It's most likely a flash point where when the parts came out of the mold and like the little plastic screw like on model kits, that might have been where it was connected, and when they broke that off, it may have took a little extra out on yours.
Yeah, but all in all, though, I'm really pleased with this little guy. I mean, for a small the Cyberverse Legions or the Cyberverse Commanders rather, you know, I was skeptical about them whenever we first heard about them. But now that I've got a few, I've got Sentinel Prime, I've got the Prime with Trailer, and now Ironhide, and I'm really pleased with them.
Have Blackout and Power Glide?
Oh, yes, I do. And Blackout is a marvel, too, for the small size. Like you said, they're not going to win awards for being the most awesome toy ever, but, you know, given that they're small size, you got to take that into account, and they're pretty amazing for the small size.
I was expecting them to just essentially be the new Scouts, because they kind of replaced the Scout class and price point and everything. But I have been amazed by them, because it seems to me the engineering has stepped up a degree above the Scouts. Like I have my Wind Charger handy, for example. You know, mm-hmm. He's very G1 Wind Charger-y, but he's just got like a lot of big car parts and some simple joints. I mean, he's not nearly as complicated as some of these Cyberverse toys. Especially like with Blackout. Blackout is a marvel of engineering for his size. He's just not near as much fun as Transformers Ironhide. But, I mean, it just amazes me what they're doing at this small scale. Mm-hmm. You can definitely see Hasbro step up their game.
I mean, it's by no means world's smallest Transformer small either, but I mean, in vehicle mode, I'd say he's easily like Matchbox car size. At least Ironhide. Ironhide?
Yeah, I've had Matchbox cars. They're a little smaller than that.
Hmm.
At least I'm pretty sure. I mean, aren't the
Well, I have a Matchbox
car. Oh, you have one handy. You can do a comparison. Because when I think of the Matchbox, again, I haven't actually played with one in a while, but I think of the...
Actually, you know, I mean, he is a bit bigger than a Matchbox, but, you know, I've got the Back to the Future DeLorean here. Hot Wheels.
He should be bigger.
Yeah, so he's roughly in scale with Matchbox.
He's bigger than a Matchbox, but he should be, so he's in scale with them. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was thinking a Matchbox about the same size as a regular Legends, because I've got the Legends G1 Jazz that came out, I guess, in 2009. Or so, and you know, it feels about Matchbox size, and it's definitely smaller than Ironhide. But yeah, he could be in scale when you consider Ironhide's a Top Kick, which is much larger than you think just seeing it on TV.
Mm-hmm. But as far as toys go, that's all I got this week. Now tonight, I'm going to pick up the new Mac OS X Lion and put it on my iMac. This is the first operating system that they have released as download only. It is a complete operating system. And here's what I love about it. It's only $30. And just like all the previous Mac upgrades, $30 instead of, you know, if you go buy a new Windows upgrade to get the full system, you got to pay what, $200-$300?
I think we've seen them for like 170, haven't we?
Well, those are upgrades.
Oh, okay.
Or illegally download it, but...
Yeah, or illegally download it. But the full version is only $30 for each upgrade of the Mac.
Will it work on my PC?
No, it will not.
Can I drive and install it?
No, it will not. Plus, you also have to have... Huh?
Can I, like, run a magnet over my hard drive and put that on there? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wipe the hard drive and put it on there.
Well, no, it's it has to have Apple hardware. But
stupid communist Apple. I think it has to be their way.
But I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it tonight from the App Store. And the only reason I haven't got it yet is it is a 15 gig download.
Wow.
So yeah,
let that
you
download overnight while you're sleeping.
Yeah, don't let it download overnight. That's what I usually do with a large download like that. I'll download it tonight and I'll put it on a disc and upgrade my system tomorrow evening when I get home from work, and probably be talking about it on the next the rebooted Geek Apple very soon. So if you're an Apple fanboy like me and a few other guys on Geek Existence, check out Geek Apple. It's coming soon to a podcast near you, and we'll move on to our next set. It's our version of the San Diego Comic-Con coverage. As we kind of talked about earlier tonight, San Diego Comic-Con is happening in San Diego, California. And it is a massive convention that basically covers all things geek. If you're into comic books, obviously Comic-Con. Movies, television, toys, I mean, pretty much everything under one roof like that.
Yes, and also basement upgrades.
Yes, and I'm sure a lot of people that go to a Comic-Con, like BotCon, they spend a lot of time in basements anyway. So,
Your mom's basement.
I live in Florida. We don't have these
your
things
mom.
Called basements.
Your
otherwise,
basement.
They're underwater.
Well, I mean, if that is your current living arrangement, I mean, I've been there, kind of done that, not lived in the basement, but I had to go back and live with my parents a little bit. But
I live in a
so
garage.
It's not a shameful thing. I mean, I know I say it, and I sound kind of blasphemous when I say it, but I mean, that is the truth. I mean, a lot of you know, 40-year-old virgins out there, but
feels good, man.
Oh yeah,
a 40-year-old virgin lived by himself. He just had toys everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh crap, that's me.
But you do have a daughter though, so you got a receipt.
Yeah, I'm no longer a virgin. I had sex once.
Oh.
14 years ago.
and a half.
No, this is a family podcast. Let's tone that down. But the San Diego Comic Con.
The family got there.
The stork dummy.
Aww.
They found it under a cabbage head out in the garden.
It was.
I thought it was Swoop.
No, it was an illegal download.
Okay. San Diego Comic Con. Hasbro has a very strong showing there. They have their own booth, and they have their exclusives. Yeah. Well, like BotCon, they do have a panel at San Diego Comic Con, and they revealed quite a few things. Some of it we were actually privy to see at BotCon, but there were no pictures allowed. And now there are some pictures out. And they've also announced a few things that are pretty new to us. Greg, you want to kind of highlight a few of those things?
I guess we talked about the other stuff at BotCon. So the new stuff was pretty much anything Soundwave related with Dark of the Moon. I think that was because in the movie itself, they didn't want to spoil the fact that the Mercedes, spoiler alert, the Mercedes that Carly was riding around in was actually a Decepticon, so they didn't want to reveal his alt mode. Although, even trying to avoid spoilers, I knew that. They released, they showed the Cyberverse Legion, the Deluxe, and the Human Alliance Soundwave, and the Soundwave comes with Laserbeak and Dylan. So again, another plot point that would have been revealed had they revealed that toy before the movie opened. So we saw all those Soundwave toys, and then we also saw the Wheeljack / Q toy. I'm not sure why they would have held back on that one unless it wasn't ready to show. And I think I don't really think we've seen anything else new as far as toy-wise. We had the revelation of a couple of more exclusives. I know the Twin Twist, well, I guess Leadfoot Deluxe was a new reveal. I think that leaked out actually before Comic-Con, though. We went and talked about it, and it's the weaponized version. And he comes in a two-pack with Twin Twist, who, to me, doesn't look any different than Top Spin, just a new name. I mean, it doesn't even look like a new deco to me, unless I'm missing something. He looks cool. He still has his beer belly. I'm not real crazy about that design element, but, I love NASCAR, so I'm going to buy it.
I wonder what did you happen to see what sponsor he has on him?
Twin Twist, it still looked like Lowe's. I mean, he looked identical to Top Spin. I did not see any difference. In the pictures that I saw.
Interesting.
Maybe I just missed it, but I'm kind of scrolling through here again.
Well, that's the Dark of the Moon toys. Now, didn't they reveal quite a few Transformers Prime toys to us?
Yes, they did. Kind of most of these we saw at BotCon, we saw the Voyager Prime and Bulkhead and the Deluxe Wheeljack. And I think we even saw the Legion, RC. I don't know, was she a Legion or was she a Commander? I know she's Cyberverse. There was an RC and a Wheeljack. We saw those at BotCon. We saw the Cliffjumper and Zombie Cliffjumper at BotCon. We saw the Eradicon at BotCon. I think the only thing new is that the Wheeljack pictures were in color this time. And we also saw the Voyager Starscream, which I don't think we saw at BotCon.
Well, we saw a Deluxe Starscream at BotCon.
Yes, but we didn't see the Voyager. And they showed us some images of Voyager Soundwave, but I think this was the first time we actually saw a picture of the toy.
Maybe it was the Voyager Starscream we saw at BotCon and not the Deluxe. Are you? I'm not so sure about it anymore now.
Well, I know they had the Voyager one. If we saw the Voyager one, it would have just been the gray proto images. But I do know that Soundwave, all we saw were the computer images where they showed like the CAD with the different colored parts to see where everything goes. And in these pictures, look like they were shown a picture of the actual toy, or at least a colored prototype, which is more than we saw as far as Soundwave goes. And then we also had Voyager Skyquake,
which looks awesome, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the Prime toys.
I want them all. I want them to be on my shelf
Deluxe
minute.
Deluxe Knockout. How can we forget the sexy Knockout? He loves his paint job.
Gorgeous.
He looks awesome, and I want him to.
Bulkhead looks amazing.
Yeah, they did a good job with his, everything on that transformation.
Did we see colored pictures at BotCon, or was it only gray protos?
I'm thinking we only saw gray protos of Bulkhead then.
Yeah, because I'm really loving this picture. I'm really surprised because looking at the render, you know, in the show, I'm thinking there is no way they're going to be able to get that sleek Jeep, you know, to turn into that big fat-bellied robot. It's just not going to happen. That body is just way too bloated. You know, the toy's going to be a little skinnier than that in robot mode. And, no, they did it. I mean, you can see layers of vehicle parts piling up there. But, yeah, he's got the big bulky look, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it out and, that good. The great
well,
promos.
I mean, and from what we saw of RC at BotCon, too, I mean, they had, you know, this small little bike that turned into a larger robot. I mean, they totally pulled it off,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some naysayers out there that don't like it, but, I mean, that is the fandom. But, I mean, Transformers Prime, for the most part, I cannot wait till these toys hit. I believe, what they say, around December, around Christmas time is when we'll first
yes.
start seeing them.
Yes, so, most of these reveals are going to be 2012, maybe late 2011. I know because the line's going to launch like November, December, so we're only going to see the first couple of waves. They were showing some Wave 3 and 4 stuff, and, you know, that's not going to be until next year. Yeah. At least is what they were telling us at BotCon. I didn't read the panel coverage, so I don't know if they moved them up or not.
Well, I mean, with all this heat and everything, I personally can't wait to start seeing the Snowfly and also for Transformer Prime toys being on the shelf. Knockout, Wheeljack, that one alone I can't wait for. Prime is great. Bumblebee. I can't name one toy I don't want from Transformers Prime.
Yeah, I want the toys from that show so bad, and I'm enjoying the show so much that I'm actually considering selling all my classics and just collecting Prime toys instead.
Wow. I'm not that hardcore.
I love the show that much.
I'm not that hardcore. I like my classics, but...
Well, I do too. I'm just running out of room. I've got to...
Well, I've got an idea. I mean, I've run out of room already. I'm kind of starting to stack toys on toys right now. But, I've got an idea. I've got a futon here in my little man cave where I have my computer and my
you're just going to pile them on the futon in a huge pile.
No, I actually need to get rid of this futon. I mean, my wife and I have had this thing since I guess we got married like 12 years ago.
If you had a mountain of toys in that on that futon, there'd be toys in the middle that you would never see if you piled them high enough.
Well,
that would be kind of cool.
It's been that way before. You've seen it.
Yeah, I'm talking like out of the boxes, though. Just naked figures, like you pulled them off the shelf, you know, from display and just tossed them onto the futon. No packaging.
But the San Diego Comic-Con, speaking about the Generations figures, they showed a couple that will be out near the end of Generations later this year. They did tell us at BotCon that Generations is going until the end of the year. It'll run concurrently with Dark of the Moon until then, and then as Generations subsides, that's when Transformers Prime will take up where they leave off. And I assume that Prime will be around the Generations price point. We know Dark of the Moon at Walmart's what, $9.98,
and that's the exception because I've noticed Target still has them around $11-$12. I think Walmart is just running a sale on them. Or they worked a really good deal with Hasbro where, like, look, we'll buy X amount of cases, you know, buttloads to get the price down.
I know it's so much so that Meijer is having trouble keeping them stocked. The local Meijer around here, I know listeners of the podcast may remember, back in the doldrums between lines, my local Meijer, it was an ongoing thing every week. I'd go by there, and they would have absolutely nothing on the shelf. I have a picture still on my phone of the Meijer shelf that had one lone Bumblebee walkie-talkie hanging on the shelf, and that is the only Transformer they had in the store that had anything related to Transformers. You know, so, I mean, that's pretty sad. When you have a large box company like that cannot get the product out to their stores. How many, especially at a time like this, whenever you've got the movie that's in the theaters and the children are wanting these toys, they want to go to the store and they, hey, mommy, I want that Bumblebee. You know, you go to Meijer, you're not going to see crap. You know, that's a lot of lost sales for them. I mean, it's amazing.
They don't even have movie toys they didn't restock?
The movie toys, they got the initial shipment with they actually, my local Meijer did not get a shipment until Wave 2. You know, they got the Skyhammer and the Shockwave Voyagers. They got those first. They do not even have deluxes in the shelf set. I was talking to a manager of the local Meijer, and he happens to be a Transformers fan and collector, and it's a little shout out to him if he's listening. He was telling me that they don't even have deluxes in the shelf set.
That's crazy. That's it is popular selling price point.
Exactly. It's the most popular selling price point with probably and arguably the most popular toy on the shelf right now. You know, and
they don't even carry it.
They don't even carry it. They're not even, you know, massive fail on that end. Yeah. On that end. You know, I thought about calling, you know, their higher up and higher ups and leaving a nasty message, but that would probably get nowhere.
And but the thing is, when I saw all those empty shelves, you know, my conclusion was that they were not ordering more of the Decepticons Reveal the Shield because they wanted the shelves to be empty so they wouldn't have to experience a bunch of stuff when the Dark of the Moon toys came out. And it turned out that's not even the case because they're not really even putting any out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was just my local Meijer, but you know, if you go into the next town over, which is Lexington, their Meijers are pretty much the same way. You know, you go in there and their shelves look very sold down. Of course, you know, the toys that they had, they've sold through, so they're not there. They're just not restocking them. I don't know if their warehouse is just inept or they just don't have them to send. But you know, that's a little rabbit trail. I mean, we're getting off the subject of San Diego Comic-Con, but you know, I thought it needed to be mentioned. You know, I mean, you got these popular toys that are on the shelf, and all these new ones that have been released or revealed at Comic-Con, and they're not going to see the light of day at Meijer, that's for sure. But Hasbro did state at San Diego Comic-Con that they somebody asked if they were going to continue Generations or I guess Classics, and they do want to do something, but you know, it's a little harder to do something and execute it at the same time, you know. So
it's basically they want to, but there's no guarantee they can.
Yeah.
So they can't really answer the question beyond we want to.
Yeah.
But the positive thing, the two Generations figures that they revealed for later in the line that's going to come out, the last wave of Generations, is they only revealed two. We're already up to the waves that have the, you know, the Retgar, Thundercracker, Wheeljack, which are the most recent ones. If there's only two more new figures planned for that line, and those are already getting out, I mean, I don't know if they've been spotted in too many stores, but they have been spotted. Hasbro Toy Shop has had them.
What, these two that were
well,
revealed?
Well, no, not these two. Oh. The Warpath, Thundercracker, and, was it, Wheeljack. You know, those were the most recent ones before Comic-Con. This is where we're expecting to get, okay, Generations is continuing, there's going to be new figures, this is where we would hear about them. And they only mentioned two. You know, two new ones. So, it seems like these should be in the next new wave of Generations after the figures that are out now. Yeah. And, you know, here we are in July. So,
and here's the major bummer is that they're both repaints.
Yes, but they're good repaints. Repaints I was looking forward to. So I was just hoping they wouldn't fall into that Reveal the Shield trap where all the good toys are in that last wave of a line that's supposed to end. So retailers don't order any of that last wave. So you never find them. Like a lot of people with Perceptor, Retgar, G2 Prime. But like I said, you know, these are the only two new ones, and the waves that are currently out there have, you know, been out for a while. With the you know, they should hopefully be hitting next couple months, and it's still far enough away from the end of the line that they should actually get out there. So that's good news.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah.
Had they revealed like five or six new figures, and you know, the line's supposed to end at the end of the year. Yeah, those last few, yeah, get them when you can.
I'm still waiting for some more Headmaster homages. But I guess that's a pipe dream right now. You know, I mean,
maybe someday.
But let's see here. I'm trying to think. Is there any?
Did we actually mention what the two Generations releases were?
Oh no, I don't think we did. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a Junk Heap, who is the Rekgar repaint, and looked like he may have had a new head. The picture was kind of small, I couldn't tell. And Sky Shadow, which wasn't he called Black Shadow in Japan, the repaint of the, or the remold of G1 Thunderwing? Well, this is Generations Thunderwing, repainted, remolded, and they're calling him Sky Shadow. But it's obviously Black Shadow. The colors match up perfect.
Yeah, I kind of thought his head almost looked like Energon Galvatron.
I think Energon Galvatron and Megatron had the same head. I think they were kind of based on Black Shadow as far as design. I think that's where the inspiration came from. It's mostly the big ears on the side that make him look that way. To be honest with you, I was kind of surprised that they only revealed two generations. I was expecting three or four. One in particular was, I figured we would see the Warpath with the new head, because it was in the instructions, and so I kind of thought whatever that repaint was going to be in Generations, but no, they didn't announce it.
Well, I was expecting to at least see a stepper as well.
I guess we'll have to resort to the $100 Japanese version.
Mm.
Or paint my own.
Tyler, your thoughts on San Diego Comic-Con? I know we've kind of let you ride here.
They honestly look, most of the stuff looks very good. The Transformers Prime figures, I wasn't a big fan of animated. I mean, I bought, you know, some of the figures. It's just the aesthetic didn't really fit in with the rest of my collection. These ones, I feel, still have a little bit in them, but not enough to, alienate them from, all the rest of my collection. So I'm definitely interested in that. Definitely interested in the Voyagers. The movie stuff, some of it looks all right, but I think the ones that really stole the show were the Transformers Prime figures, Starscream, Bulkhead, the Voyager Optimus Prime, the other Voyager jet, Skyquake. Yeah, Skyquake. They all look
who's
really good.
Who's only been in two episodes, and he was a zombie.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't have the hub. And otherwise it'd be like to get the hub, and it would come with like 30 useless channels, be an extra like $30 a month, and I don't think that's really worth it. I'll just catch them on the internet.
We download them online and watch them.
Yeah.
And then I will buy the DVDs as soon as they come out.
You know, there was one glaring omission from the Dark of the Moon toys that were revealed. And I'm very sad. The Enzo Ferrari Dino.
Dino slash
Italia.
Yeah.
458 Italia.
Yeah.
Well, I heard some rumblings. I don't know the truth of this. It was news to me, if it's true, that apparently Ferrari has an exclusive for their toys. For any Ferrari toys, the exclusivity belongs to Mattel. They purchased that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So
too.
The only Mattel can release Ferrari toys. So even though in the movies we get a lot of licensed vehicle modes, Hasbro cannot release a licensed Ferrari because
they might have to
license.
Do what they did with Sideways, because Sideways, although it was kind of weird because they didn't want themselves associated with war toys, but Audi didn't release the rights to Hasbro to make a toy, but they released the rights to the game where it was licensed as an Audi R8 in a game that was specifically about killing things.
Yeah,
and other robots. I would have liked to see a licensed vehicle for the toy, but
they did a good enough job with Sideways that he looked like an Audi. I mean, when people told me that, they had to change Sideways up because they couldn't get the license for Audi, I'm like, really? Because I looked at the toy, I thought it was a licensed Audi. I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So if they do that with Dino Mirage, it looks so much like a Ferrari that you'd have to have a really trained eye to notice it wasn't licensed.
Hopefully. I mean, they might, because the vehicle is kind of, it's interesting because it incorporates a nice angular design, but it has a lot of smooth areas that have a lot of nice rolls in it, but I really think that if they change it up, they might either make it all like a very angular car, or do something along like the Sideswipe and Sunstreaker from Classics, and kind of make it kind of look like one of the sports cars. You can't really
it's
tell
like
which
a Ferrari.
One it is.
It's a Ferrari with slightly different shaped headlights.
It's kind of like G1 Jazz, he looked like a Porsche 911, but he wasn't.
He was actually like a Porsche 959,
I think it'd be good for Ferrari if they would open up to the Transformers, because Mattel definitely sells toys, but I mean, Hasbro is like the big guns going now with these movies, and I mean, to have your toy licensed, and you know, I know, you know, Ferrari is a popular name, you know, expensive cars that are well known and envied by young children, but you know, GM is a popular name too, and see how much revenue they're raking in from this movie deals that
they've had. It comes down to legal contracts. I mean, if they've already had ink on the paper pre-existing these movies, for Mattel to have exclusivity, they can't just withdraw that. It would cost a fortune because, you know, they've purchased those rights.
Which kind of begs the question, why did they allow Michael Bay, you know, to throw a car in there that they could not make a toy of and capitalize on? And
because Ferrari isn't worried about a toy exposure, they're worried about movie exposure.
No, I'm talking about Hasbro, dude. Hasbro, I mean, why did they allow... you know, I mean, the movies is easily their biggest cash cow in their history, you know, as far as Transformers is concerned. You know, so they need to have everything, every character that appears in the movie as a marketable character. Now, here it is with you have a character that is quite obviously a Ferrari, and they are not allowed to produce a Ferrari.
Right. You know, well, I don't know how much influence Hasbro has in the creative process, because I think it's pretty much they had some in the beginning, but for the most part, it's a Michael Bay thing. He picks what he wants to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the most part, but I mean, whenever you have, I'm sure Hasbro has some say in their own brand. I mean, they gave Michael Bay the green light on the movies. You know, do what you want, but you know Michael Bay even said. They told him these characters need to be in there. You know, we don't care how you portray them, you know, as much as, you know, they need to be there. You know, Soundwave, Optimus Prime, you know, Megatron.
Right, but I think Dino just kind of fell into that gray area where it's like they got all the main characters in, beyond that, do what you want. And I think Ferrari gave Michael Bay a boatload of money to have their car in his movie because they knew it would be good exposure. A lot of people would see it, therefore maybe want to buy a Ferrari. You know, they weren't concerned about the toy end, and Hasbro was like, well, you know what, we got all the characters we wanted in there. You know, I mean, Michael Bay, it's ultimately his movies, he's producing them. You know, I just don't know that Hasbro had the authority to say, nope, we can't make a Ferrari toy, therefore no Ferrari in the movie.
I completely disagree. I mean, whenever you have something, I mean, you're assuming that Hasbro has no control over something that is their own franchise. You know, I mean, I think Hasbro should have the buck stops here attitude. I mean, yeah, I mean, give Michael Bay creativity license, but you've got to have a line. You know, it's like, okay, obviously, I mean, if they wouldn't have allowed his characters to be portrayed having sex or something on screen or doing something that they just, you know, do not want. I'm sure Hasbro could have stepped in and said, hey, no, you're taking this away from our franchise.
Well, I don't know. It depends. Again, it all goes back to contracts, which we don't have access to, so all we can do is speculate. But I kind of relate it to, like, Marvel now has their own studios, makes their own movies, but before they started making their own movies and branching out from just the comic books, you know, they had sold the rights, not necessarily sold the rights, but I guess Paramount had purchased the rights to, like, say, Spider-Man, made the Spider-Man movies. And so they have to make a movie every so often that right, or they revert back to Marvel. But in the meantime, Paramount has the rights to make Spider-Man movies. Marvel Studios cannot make a Spider-Man movie. They cannot put Spider-Man in one of their crossover movies like the Avengers or anything, because Paramount currently has those rights from the Spider-Man movies they were making when they purchased them. I think it might be kind of like that, where, you know, Michael Bay and Don Murphy and whatever studio is producing Transformers, I guess it's Paramount as well, you know, may have gave Hasbro a bunch of money for the rights to make a Transformers movie, and, you know, part of that contract may have had that Hasbro only has limited say in what they can do. Without seeing the contracts, we don't know, but, I mean, Spider-Man's a perfect example of where the owners of the original property have very little say in what goes on in the movies. Hmm. And it could be that way with Transformers, you know, like, they've got some say, but they're limited, and the Ferrari thing may have just been beyond their control, based on the contract. But again, unless we would ever see the contracts, or I doubt we ever will, we have no way of knowing. We just speculate.
Yeah, I mean, it is speculation, but I mean, the way I see it, you're assuming that Hasbro has no control, and I'm assuming that Hasbro has Well, I'm not saying full control. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, you know, just at any given moment they could walk into the studio and say, nope, can't do that. Nope, don't want to do that.
Well, I'm not saying they don't have any control. I'm just saying this may be one area they don't.
At any rate, though, I mean, they're just, this is a toy that personally I think needs to be released. And I hope Hasbro does find a way to do it, even if it's not a fully licensed Ferrari. Because I just loved the way he looked in the movie. He looked like a really nice looking bot, and obviously a Ferrari is a very nice looking car, and to let that opportunity go would be a waste.
I think that's the most likely scenario, is that they'll release it in just a non-licensed form, slightly altered. But what surprises me is that if that were going to happen, you'd think we'd have heard or seen something at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that maybe they, you know, have already designed the, you know, most of the figure, like the robot mode and everything. You know, everything, maybe it was, you know, they had to get, you know, make sure it was different enough from the Ferrari, you know, to be not licensed as a Ferrari and not infringe upon, you know, Ferrari, you know, rights to the body design. You think maybe they got it either a little bit too close, or Ferrari wanted it a lot different from their design, you know, possibly.
I guess it's possible. Like, they had something worked up, but then they couldn't do it because it wasn't changed enough, so they have to rework it, so they have nothing to show. That's possible, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Hasbro has to have something up their sleeve because, you know, I mean, we know just as well as anyone that, you know, it takes a lot of lead time to design a toy from the time they draw, make a conceptual drawing of a toy to the time that it is going on the store pegs. It can sometimes be more than a year. Yeah. It usually is more than a year. So I would say that if we knew that Hasbro was going to release something, I'm sure that we would have seen something now, but you know, there is that outside chance that it's going to be like an end of the line surprise. Like, oh, you remember this character? We never saw any toys of it. Here it is. You know.
Well, you know, we've seen less prominent characters in these movies get toys. I mean, like Sideways, the perfect example. He was in the movie for every bit of 5 minutes, got cut in half. Dino was kind of
not even five.
He wasn't like the center focus of a lot of shots, but he was in a lot of shots. He had several speaking lines. You know, so he was much more prominent of a character than Sideways. Sideways.
Well, he was as present in Dark of the Moon as Jazz was in the first movie, in my opinion.
If not more so.
Speaking of that, we need a new deluxe Jazz.
Yeah, the first deluxe Jazz kind of blew, but
well, they gave us the Human Alliance. I think they figured that's good enough.
That Human Alliance figure is just amazing.
Yeah, I figure they could sell. You know, if they made, you know, deluxe Jazz, if they revisited, I mean, I'm not like a leader, you know, leader blackout now, but, you know, I think if they maybe went back, you know, even after the main part of this toy line is done, or if they took advantage of the hype of the toy line with the kids and made, you know, a better deluxe class Jazz, and, you know, possibly a Voyager version of Bone Crusher, I think they could, you know, push them well. You know?
Yeah, well, it all depends on how long the licenses go, because you know that they won't be able to produce any of these toys for very much longer after the third movie is released, or after it's out of theaters and out on Blu-ray and everything, because I'm sure, you know, that you've got officially licensed vehicles here. You know, Bumblebee is a Camaro, you know, two or three years down the line, you won't be seeing those. Yeah. You'll be seeing, like, the Transformers Prime Bumblebee. He looks like a Camaro, but he's not. You know,
I think we'll still get movie-style figures, though, because these are popular. We're going to get the realistic alt modes that turn into a robot with super high drawer of spilled knives detailing on the, you know, limbs.
Well, that was the last bit that I wanted to touch on that we know from San Diego Comic-Con right now. Hasbro did state that they are focusing on the movie style. You know, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's around to stay. If people don't like it, too bad. You know, it is around to stay.
It's popular. It sells. They're going to milk it.
I mean, you can't deny the movie aesthetic influence on Transformers Prime. It's not 100% movie aesthetic, but you can tell there's definite movie influence on their designs.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell how popular lines had their influence, like Universe or Classic Sound was a little bit more rounded off than previous classics, and he was a little bit more animated like. And then, the newer classics coming out these days are a lot more complicated. For example, Universe Classics Galvatron, Classics Ironhide, all those, they're, quite a bit more complicated like the movies, and they, went with the more complicated design. It may not have the movie aesthetic in the looks of it, but it definitely has a movie vibe from actually having a lot of things being done to the actual vehicles.
Long, awkward silence. I thought Greg was going to take off.
No.
But, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the movie aesthetic, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, while they may... And by movie aesthetic, I'm not saying box of spilled knives. I mean, yes, that is the most common attribute that people attribute to the movie aesthetic. But... there is complexity, like you mentioned. There is the angular and the sharp looks of the robots. You don't exactly have a complete car hood as a chest, although there are some exceptions, like Ironhide. He has a very G1-esque aesthetic in many ways, but at the same time, he still has the robotic. Exoskeleton look or endoskeleton look, in his legs and in his arms. It's like he's a robot with car parts hanging off of him. I kind of like the Transformers Prime aesthetic. I mean, you can tell it has influences from the movie, but it is not the movie aesthetic. And I think we're going to see that a lot in coming Transformer lines, even past Transformers Prime.
Well, I think Transformers Prime does... The changes it makes to the movie aesthetic are the changes that I personally approve of. The things I don't like about the movie aesthetic are the things they got rid of. They smoothed out the robot mode, so they're not necessarily all chunky and blocky like G1, but they don't have all the excessive detailing. And that's what I like about it. So if that's the direction they're going, you're not going to see me complaining.
No, I wouldn't complain either. I mean, I fully enjoy it. But I believe that'll wrap us up, unless any of y'all can think of anything that we need to add.
Human Alliance Soundwave is disappointing.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed. He kind of has a gorilla-ish look. Oversized arms and stuff.
It was a point being brought up that, yes, he has the parts where they should be, but that's at the... it's terrible for the proportions of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it might be one of those things that looks better in person.
Yeah.
Then again, it may be another Human Alliance Sideswipe. I mean, the Human Alliance Sideswipe looks good, but as a toy, there is. I mean, half the car is about a backpack. I mean, it fails in many ways. I mean, I took a picture of it today, and it turns out. I mean, it's a very nice looking figure. But when you turn it around, you're like, wait, there's half a car back here.
Yeah.
They did
a good job of keeping the car mode looking non-two-panel-y.
Yeah.
But if they would have went the sidearm sideswipe way with it, I'm pretty sure they could have gotten an equally good toy.
Oh, yeah. I think the sidearm sideswipe, if they had applied that same engineering to the Human Alliance, that would have... That would have been... not necessarily upscale it, but... apply the same kind of engineering,
Yeah. Human Alliance Bumblebee translated into the Battle Blades.
Yeah, I think that if it had done that, then the Human Alliance Sideswipe would have been up there with Jazz as one of the most awesome Human Alliances we've got. But, I mean, as it is, I mean, it's an okay toy. I mean, I wouldn't knock over an old lady to go get one if I didn't have one. But I do have one.
Yeah.
But,
it's one of those.
You know, I mean, he's going on the jazz again. I mean, they brought back Barricade. He was in the movie for, like, maybe 20 seconds. But, you know, kids are going to remember, oh, my God, that's the thing from the, you know, it's the people that pay attention. But the little five-year-olds aren't going to remember that's the guy from the first movie because, you know, he didn't have any lines. He wasn't shown up close. But, you know, I think they could bring back jazz and kids would remember he's the cool guy that jumped on the car.
Yeah, cool guy jumped on the car and, you know, yo, what's cracking, little, you know.
Taught me my first curse word.
Yeah. But, I think they could have done that better. But anyway, I believe that'll wrap us up this week for our San Diego Comic-Con coverage. If there's anything else that leaks out, we'll cover it next week. There is a Transformers Prime episode that we do need to review. Although that, seeing as how none of us have the hub, we will miss an episode since we're having to download the episodes and watch them. The primary guy that actually encodes them and uploads them for everybody to download and watch, he's taking a week off. You know, it's more power to him. So we're actually going to miss an episode, which,
well,
you know,
I was
sucks,
reading
but.
That the other day after you told me that. I went back and read that thread, and I thought he said he'd set his DVR to record it. He's just going to be a week late encoding it because it's going to record, but he won't be there to encode it. So.
If that's the case, then, you know, great. We still have a metal attraction, I believe, we need to discuss. We won't discuss that tonight for time reasons, but look for that soon. And hopefully by then we can maybe crunch two or three more episodes in with it. May even have to make another supplemental. But, you know, that is the case with, this is the convention time of the year whenever time gets a little bit scrunched, I guess you could say, with these podcasts. I mean, we're covering so much news and convention. I mean, we had before BotCon, we had the New York Toy Fair. Then we had BotCon, now San Diego Comic Con. Seems like there's one more. Well, we got TFCon coming up. Who knows what's going to be revealed there. Episode discussions, you know, they may fall by the wayside, but we'll get to them eventually.
Pulled up Dark Prime's post. He says, "Well, everyone, I'm heading on vacation tomorrow. Won't be home until the 22nd. That means I will miss the next episode. I have set up my computer to record the episode, but probably won't get to work on it until very late on the 16th or 17th. So, yeah, he's missed the episode, but he recorded it on his computer. So it's working.
Awesome. Hopefully it recorded. But I believe that'll do it this week for Geek Existence Transformers. We hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to check out our website at www.geekexistence.com. We also have a new email address for the Geek Existence Transformers section of the website and this podcast. It is get@geekexistence.com. Send us an email at that address if you would like to send us maybe a audio question. Please keep the clips to 30 seconds or less in MP3 format. Also check out our Geek Existence Gadgets and Tech podcast hosted by Kelly McCuddy and Daryl Keithley. It is a weekly podcast. If you're into gadgets such as cell phones and cool TV remotes and stuff like that, or even computers, software, games, check out that podcast. They do a great job covering that kind of information. And we'll also soon, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, we'll be starting a Geek Apple podcast, which is covering Apple products and Apple software. If you're an Apple fanboy like me and a few other people on Geek Existence, check that out. We also have a Twitter page or a Twitter account, twitter.com/geekexistence. Also Facebook, facebook.com/geekexistence, and we're also on Google+. So check us out on all of those, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hasta la vista, or something.